Thanks, guys. Tim, alcoholic.
Tim.
All right. It's a short read tonight, so I'm just going to take a little bit of a couple of those seconds and just start off with a set-aside prayer, just for us to sort of slow down a little bit and get our minds wrapped around what we're going to talk about tonight. For those following along, we're on page 84, middle of the page. We finished step 9 last week. We're going to do 10 and 11 tonight. So let's just take 30 seconds and clear our minds. And at the end of that small little meditation, which I think is very apropos since we'll be talking about step 11 tonight, I'll read the set-aside prayer, a set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself, the 12 steps, this book, the meetings, my disease, and you, God, so I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please let me see the truth. Amen. And again, that's just one version of a set-aside prayer that has become a custom in sort of studies, workshop sort of things, starting off with a prayer similar to that. One of the things, and Jack and I had a conversation before the meeting, one of the things that I did just then, and I heard the kids outside, what I did to concentrate on staying with me was I just counted breath. I counted an in and out is one, and I went to five, counted one to five, counted one to five, counted one to five. And that was a way of me sort of staying present with myself and not, you know, getting a little distracted. So just a thought. That being said, we're on the middle of 84 with the word this thought. This thought brings us to step 10. Which thought? Well, it's the sentence right before it. They will always materialize if we work for them. What will? The ninth step promises. So we're springboarding right off of the step. And we're getting right into the ninth step, and we're getting right into the tenth step. So they will always, all the promises will always materialize, but we have to hustle. This thought brought us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory. That's a step 4, right? And continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. That's step 9. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Again, step 4. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. Steps 6 and 7. We discuss them with someone immediately. Step 5. And make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Step 9. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. That's preparing to do 12. That's not doing 12. Getting our thought ready to help Johnny is not step 12. It's preparing. It's making the decision. It's making the plan that we're going to help Johnny. Right? Love and tolerance of others is our code. It's our code. Why? Because like seeks like. If you're loving and tolerant to someone else, you will receive that back. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. In other words, we don't work on the issue of liquor. We don't work on that. we work on the reduction of ego, the smashing of ego, the reduction of self-will. Selfishness, self-centered is the root of our problem. The bottle is but a symptom. So you don't work on that. It's beyond human aid anyway, so you're working on the wrong thing. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. When the problem is removed, you don't have to swear off something. It's not an issue. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. What's the spiritual program of action? 12 steps, right? And rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. Here's a prayer, right? We can call this the 10th step prayer. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. So when you're asking, you're saying that as a prayer, when you're asking that question of your higher power, you then have to be quiet, right? You then have to meditate to intuitively know what the answer is. How are you going to get the answer if you spurt that out real quick and you hit the car into drive and you fly? You know what I mean? You have to now sit with that for a second. Prayer and meditation go together. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. So God is, once we've reached out to God and we are waiting for an intuitive answer after we've gone halfway through step 9, we're waiting for an intuitive answer. Whatever the answer is, and you're pretty sure that it's the correct answer, that's the good place to use self-will. Now go off and do the job. You're now being divinely inspired. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, i.e. steps, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit, capitalized, into us. To some extent, we have become God-conscious rather than self-conscious, right? We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. We must go further, and that means more action. So sixth sense is that intuitive thing. It's a belly barometer. If you're on the right path, what you're feeling and what you're thinking and what you're doing are divinely inspired. So you go with that. All right, so let's take step 10 together. And since step 10 doesn't really have a question in the text, we turn back to the steps on page 59. There are multiple ways of doing that, of course, but we'll go with this way. And I'll word step 10 as a question. Will you continue to take personal inventory, and when you are wrong, promptly admit it?
Yeah.
Yes. That's it. Okay. One of my favorite circuit speakers is Sandy Beach, the late Sandy Beach. I think passed in 2014, maybe 2015. But his statement was, the answer to all problems is more spiritual growth. So if you're restless, irritable, discontented, aggravated, you're going to go crazy, more spiritual growth. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men then we are using it constantly. So what's prayer? Prayer is talking to your higher power. Meditation is listening for the answer, the intuitive answer. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. So here the authors are telling us we're going to give very specific directions. And I get people often telling me, oh, well, I just did a step 11. Well, you know, that's kind of the example when they're explaining. It's kind of the example. This is the more specific example. When we retire at night. So it's telling us this is one time we do step 11 in a day. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? You'd ask yourself that question and you'd sit with the feeling and the thought. And the answer would be the meditation, right? You need some time. Then you might go, do we owe an apology? And then we'll sit with that for a minute or two. Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? Those would be all, or you know, not necessarily all of them, but you would use some or all of those questions as a form of meditation when you retire at night. But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. So there's the caution, right? Not to turn it into a mental obsession, not to turn it into I'm going to whip myself over some mistakes I've made. After making our review, that's the meditation, we ask God's forgiveness, that's a prayer, and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And then we'd sit with that. We'd have to meditate on that because we have to find out what the corrective measures are. And you can only get that when you're quiet. And that was the part I jumped off, the thing that I had spoken with Jack before, that the concept that you can only have one thing in your mind at any one time. So the concept of the Emmett Fox's golden key is if you put your higher power in your mind, you can't be worried about something else. You can't be mad about Tommy. If you're thinking about higher power, it's a scientific fact. You can only have one thing. You may switch back and forth in mental obsession, but you can relieve yourself of the pain by going back to the higher power and see if you can just stick with that. So we were told when we retire at night is when we do step 11. Here's number two. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. That's a meditation. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, here's the prayer. We ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. That's a prayer. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. So some examples of wrong motives could be a resentment, anger, fantasy, fear, jealousy, whole host of things, right? We want to get rid of that, and then our thought life will be placed on a higher plane, more of a spiritual plane. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. That's a prayer. And then as soon as we did the prayer, what does it tell us to do? We relax and take it easy. Sit down. What did the Oxford group call that? Quiet time. That was their form of meditation. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. So this becomes that sixth sense gig. It's the intuitive in the ninth step promises. We will intuitively know. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. And what did the Oxford group do to waylay that process? They made you check it with somebody else. Hey, I just got this genius idea. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And you had to tell that to somebody. And if they crossed their eyes when they were looking at you, you knew you were probably off. Rethink that, right? Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer. And here's the prayer. That we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be. That we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will. Especially from self-will. And are careful to make no request for ourselves only. That's all a prayer. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Selfish, self-centered is the root of our problem. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. So you have to do this and that. It's not one or the other. Also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set of prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. So there's the basic text giving us permission. We can read basically anything we want, right? Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. Further permission, right? As we go through the day, we pause. Okay, so this is the third time in a day that we use step 11. So we did retire at night, we did on awakening, and as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. So any time in the 24 hours that you're agitated or doubtful is another time you do step 12. In addition to the retiring at night and first thing in the morning. So there's three times you do step 11. I'm going to read that again. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. That's a prayer. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We saw that also in step 10. And that counts as a prayer. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. Thy will be done. You could also do serenity prayer, which I personally use quite a lot. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly, as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit our needs. It's life on life's terms, right? We had acceptance is the answer to everything. It works. It really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. So that specific carved out times that the big book is telling us to use step 11 is what it's referring to. Retiring, first thing in the morning, and every time agitated or doubtful. All right, let's do step 11. We'll go to 59 again, because there isn't a specific question there. And this wording is completely, you know, optional. You can do it any way you heck want. Here we go. Step 11. Will you seek through prayer and meditation to improve your conscious contact with God as you understand Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for you and the power to carry that out?
Yes.
All right. Very good. And we'll just finish up the reading with, so you thought you did great, right? But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. And it's the only step that has a complete chapter devoted to it. So that leads me to believe it's important. So we'll do that next week. Thanks.